At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Mile High Insiders with Nick Kendall and Luke Patterson. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Now, it's time to find out what's going on behind the walls of UC Health Training Center.
Broncos country, what is up? It's Wednesday night. It's time for MHI. He is Thomas Hall. I am Luke Patterson. Tom, those damn Raiders. There they go. 34-18, the Broncos have officially snapped the 8-game winning streak. They've beaten Las Vegas for the first time ever, and they did it in the 1977 throwbacks. Tom, how sweet a day was it last Sunday in the Mile High City?
Man, it was awesome. I mean, number one, you break the streak, and it's against your rivals. You got those. I cannot tell you how beautiful those uniforms are, man. It was amazing. I love seeing those throwback uniforms, but it was kind of, to me, how they did it. You know, I've been talking a lot about how they've had this, you know, bunch of players that have only known nothing but losing, and you go down 10-0 pretty quickly. You know, who knows if it was still full of those same players who have been used to losing, would they have been able to bounce back? But they did. They came back. Sertan turned it around with that interception return, and the team never really looked back after that. So it wasn't just that they beat the Raiders, is how they ended up doing it, which was, I thought, was impressive.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to in that Raiders game. Some leftovers, if you will, and we will get into that. And speaking of Pat Surtain, he was officially named Defensive Player of the Week. You can read about it over at milehighhuddle.com. You're exactly right, Tom. That pick six changed the game. One of my biggest takeaways, you could also read at MileHighHuddle.com. I mean, the Broncos defense benched Gardner Minshew. That's pretty much what happened. He hung around for a little bit. That first drive with Brock Bowers, freak play, right? I don't know about you, Tom. I'm thinking, here we go again. You know, like, yeah. Which Denver Broncos team is going to show up? But that one play sometimes is all you need, whether it be any sport, right? I'm just talking about watching playoff baseball. I have a daughter that plays volleyball, coach volleyball, right? It doesn't matter. Players need to make plays, and it can completely change the momentum of the entire game. And that's exactly what happened. Tom, I also think there's something a little bit too, some Mile High magic here in Denver, Colorado. And those throwback uniforms, they looked fantastic. I would love it if they could wear them all the time. But you had greatness in the house, right? Ring of Fame ceremonies. Champ Bailey was in the house. DeMarcus Ware, all the fellas. What a prime performance by your Denver Broncos.
Yeah, it was great. Like I said, I really liked how they bounced back. And the real problem was early on was, I think that it was, defense was not tackling well. Their Sternad, I had some issues with him in the first half, but they settled down, and then they started doing what they've been doing all year. And that changed the game as well. But the offense actually kind of came alive. And if we could just, you know, somehow get the receivers to catch the balls that are thrown to them, this offense might even look even better.
Yeah, well, and speaking of the Broncos offense, I got to get your take, and I want to know from Broncos country how they feel about the sideline exchange between Bo Nix and Sean Payton. I wrote about it over at MHH.com, but I for one, am looking forward to that conversation, considering we had it with a different quarterback last year. There's bound to be a little screaming and yelling on an NFL sideline. But before we get too much down the road of this show, thoughts and prayers to everybody out there who has been affected by past and present hurricanes, including Hurricane Milton. David Yonkin, thoughts and prayers for you and the rest of Broncos country out in Florida. I've got friends in Tampa. I've got family in Florida. Thoughts, prayers, please let us know if and how we can support all of you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know people that are down in Florida, you know, wishing the best, and, you know, it can be pretty dangerous. So I'm glad people are evacuating, even though it's a slow process. It's probably the safest thing to do.
Take care of yourselves and take care of business. Maybe you can listen to this pod. We could distract you. We could try to bring some levity to what's going on in this crazy world of ours. And crazy world, I did not see the Broncos on a 3-game winning streak, especially after coming off of the road. Then they beat the Raiders. I mean, anything is possible in the NFL. You look at, I do like a weekly pick'em, Tom, and I am wrong all the time and just picking games, man. I mean, like, so many upsets every Sunday, Monday, Thursday. It truly is the league of parody. And David coming in here with a $2 super on YouTube. Good evening, Broncos country. Hashtag 10-7. Let's go, Bo. Bo Nix was also nominated as rookie of the week, rather, for the NFL for his performance last week. It was one of his better performances, Tom, when you start to look at Bo Nix's career. Now, he did rush for a touchdown. I like that. I'm never going to get tired of that. But we started to see some of the arm talent with Bo Nix. We started to see some of the decision-making when it came to Bo Nix. And it's something you look for in progressions. It's not all stats. I love the competitive fire from Bo Nix. I love the way that he tries to lead his team as a rookie. I love that he stays away from the cameras. And I like the attitude from Bo Nix. Tom, what was your reaction when you saw Bo Nix and Sean Payton jawing at each other on the sideline? Bo demonstratively louder than Sean Payton, at least looked that way watching on the couch. What'd you make of that whole little exchange? Because it's all over social media, it's all over X. Coach is talking about it, Bo's talking about it, PS2's talking about it. What does Tom think about it?
They're making a big deal about it because it's the exact opposite of what happened when Russell Wilson got yelled at by Sean Payton. He just sat there and took it. So they're making a big, I don't make a big deal out of it. People get fired up. It's one of those games that has a lot of intensity. You know, he stood up for himself about whatever it was that he wanted to get his point across from. We can't fault him for that. So I didn't think a whole lot of it because I don't think they have a good relationship, but, you know, coach quarterback relationship versus what we've seen in the past. So yeah, I think it was, it's a good fodder for people in media to talk about, but that's the kind of stuff that goes on. It just happens.
That's exactly it. It's good fodder, right? And isn't it funny how the Broncos, everybody's giving the Broncos props now. Well, let's go back 3 weeks. And, you know, I'm one of those folks. I still have concerns. Yeah. We're going to talk about some of those concerns. We're going to get into the Chargers. But the Broncos are not a team that can overlook anybody. And I look at the Kansas City Chiefs and what they're doing, and they're eking out wins. They're not doing it in the dominating fashion that we're used to seeing. But the Broncos can't overlook it. Anybody, and I wanted to get to Robot of Doom watching over on Twitch. Good evening, gents. We sure put those Raiders back in their place, bench their quarterback too. 6-2, here we come. Let's get to some news around the league, rather. Derek Carr suffered an injury, starting Saints quarterback. Obviously, the Broncos have a date with the New Orleans Saints in a couple of weeks on Thursday Night Football. It will be the first time that Sean Payton returns to New Orleans since being traded. What'd you make of the Derek Carr injury news? They're going to be going with rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler, who was also connected with the Broncos and Sean Payton this offseason.
Well, I really don't care that much because the Saints, I don't really care about the Saints, but what I do, I was hoping that they could beat the Chiefs and then they lost. So I don't really care about them anymore until they come, you know, until they face Denver in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Saints came out hot, but they've kind of faltered and they're not looking like the powerhouse that, you know, the first couple weeks may have been inclined to people to think. So that's why I keep saying you got to wait till October to see which teams are really starting to kind of distance themselves.
Well, I'll push back against that. I care a lot because I would rather have a rookie quarterback in there going against the Broncos in 2 weeks. Now, I'm not overlooking the Chargers. I'm not chalking this up to an easy win. There's no such thing in the NFL. But if Derek Carr's not able to go, that is an advantage for the Denver Broncos. He is an experienced quarterback. I'm not saying he's the guy that I would take to lead my franchise, but the news was just kind of interesting because I know Broncos country been watching. We've got that one circled. Why? It's one of the, if not the only primetime games that the Broncos have this year. We'll see if they get flexed in anything, if they're still winning later down in the road, but it's a weekly thing here with your Denver Broncos, but you guys have got to be feeling really good. They're 3-2. They are in command of their own destiny, if you will. The AFC West is wide open, and it's very competitive. I still wouldn't overlook the Raiders in game two later down the road either. It's in Las Vegas. You've never won in SoFi, speaking of the Chargers coming to town in Denver this Sunday. But a lot of other news going around the NFL as well. Tom, the Jets fired head coach Robert Saleh. I like to think the Broncos had something to do with that, putting them on that two-game losing streak, if you will. What'd you make of that? Because there were some initial reports that Saleh had considered possibly removing or taking play calling away from former Broncos head coach and current New York Jets offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. I'm of the opinion Nathaniel Hackett went crying to daddy. Daddy's name is Aaron Rodgers, and the rest is history. Robert Saleh is out.
Yeah, I can't believe that they made that hire in the first place, unless it was all just to get Aaron Rodgers or whatever. I mean, it was one of those head scratchers for me when they made it in the first place. I mean, Robert Saleh, he's had a rough go. He's not had a good quarterback. And when he got Aaron Rodgers, he lasted 5 seconds there last year. So, I mean, I think he's a pretty good defensive coordinator. It's the Jets are a mess, man. They're a mess. There's like 9 teams that have won more Super Bowls since the merger than the Jets have won division titles. That's how bad it's been for the Jets. 2 division titles since 1970. So, you know, until they get that figured out, I mean, I think it's going to be another revolving door at that head coach position.
Ooh, the New York Jets, man. Who thought we would be in a position to be making fun of another team and their success or lack thereof? And here we are staring down the barrel of the Chargers coming to Denver for a Week 6 matchup. Miguel coming in here real quick. I almost stuttered there. New Mexico representing Broncos country. Thomas, what's the costume? I can't wait anymore.
Well, should I just give it up there? Or should I just let everybody
know?
No,
I think you need to show up to MHI the weekend before Halloween in full costume gear, and we'll just do the show that way. We'll rock it. Broncos country's been wondering. We've been teasing this since training camp. What is Thomas's costume? I know what it is. I'm not going to give any spoilers. Maybe we will let that simmer a little bit on the stove. But no, we're talking Broncos, Raiders, leftovers. We're getting into a little bit of what's going on with the Chargers. How about Vance Joseph? Vance Joseph getting some love from the guys over at Good Morning Football. Peter Schrager gave him Coach of the Week. I wrote an article about it over at milehighhuddle.com. Tom, what's the difference this year for Vance Joseph? Because they got skunked 70-10 by the Dolphins in 2023. The Broncos defense went from 32 to number 3 in scoring, scratching my head. A lot of the same players.
Yeah, well, I think it starts with the defensive line and the edge rushers. I mean, I had my suspicions about whether they were going to be any better than they were last year. They are so much better. Defensive line is unquestionably better with the changes they made from last year. And they're getting pressure off the edge as well. In fact, I think against the Raiders, that was a big takeaway for me, was they were getting to the quarterback with 4 men. They weren't blitzing, needing to blitz to get pressure on the quarterback. So to me, that's what made the big difference. And I think Joseph's done, and I'm not a Joseph guy. You know that. I couldn't believe they hired him to begin with. I was like, whatever. He has been coaching really well. He's had that team ready to play every week. Now, they're a little soft against the run, still not bad, but a little bit. But other than that, I've been impressed with it.
Yeah, I wonder if Sean Payton has something to do with it. I wonder if he told Vance Joseph, you need to learn to blitz. We're going to blitz. We're going to be a blitzing team, a blitz-heavy team. It's one of the reasons I wanted Rex Ryan here, right? Like, I just want somebody that's not afraid to attack an opposing quarterback because you can't just always play back on your heels. Eventually, you'll get beat. There are a lot of bright pieces on that Broncos defense. You're exactly right. Riley Moss is playing out of his mind right now. The defense has an interception for Riley Moss, right? Three total for the Denver Broncos, two for PS2, including a house call, and then Riley Moss gets a pick. He's one of the best corners at this point in the season here in 2024 in the NFL. I know Nick's really, really pumped, right? One of his Iowa Hawkeyes is just absolutely dominating for the Denver Broncos. I love to see it, man. But there's still some concerns. We're talking about the functionality of this offense. We're talking about play calling. Well, we're going to get to the injury report here in a little bit for the Denver Broncos and the Chargers. I'm going to ask Tom about one of his favorite players, what's going on with his health. So stay tuned. Ralph Braisgirdle coming in over on Facebook. Appreciate you so much. I hardly ever catch a live show. I just listen while I'm at work. You guys are a bit uglier than I thought, and they're absolutely killing it. The Broncos defense will kill the Chargers, and our offense will not hurt us. Ralph, that means a lot, man, that you're listening to the show while you're working. I know so many people support the podcast, even though they can't watch live. It means a lot to us. And yeah, we're just getting ready for Halloween. That's all this is.
Yeah, exactly.
No, a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. Listen, the practice window is opened for two Denver Broncos, something that we can be excited about because the run game just hasn't gotten going. Now, whether or not Audric Estime is going to come off of IR remains to be seen. He was practicing today. A lot of momentum with the Broncos rookie coming out of training camp. He wasn't ever projected to be the starter, but the Broncos are looking for something in the running game. And Tyler Bidde was well on his way to getting that fire ignited, only to get injured, and the fire has been extinguished for a little bit. Javonte Williams had a very good game against the Raiders, ran with purpose, north, south. I don't know if I love him leaping in the air, you know, with his injury history and stuff like that. I love the hurdles, but Audric Estime with the ankle practicing today, as well as cornerback Damari Mathis with an ankle returned at practice today. Tom, I'm looking at both these players, Audric Estime, Damari Mathis. Let's say we get them back for the Chargers. They're 100%. I'm looking at the players playing in front of them right now, and that would be Riley Moss if you're Damari Mathis, and Javonte Williams if you're Audric Estime. Is there room for these two players on the field right now for the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, not Damari Mathis. I mean, if you look at the snap counts, I mean, it's Riley Moss, it's Jaquan McMillan, it's Pat Surtain, and any of the backup corners played very, very little. Even their pickup, Levi Wallace, has played very, very little. So Damari Mathis doesn't have a spot on the defense unless someone gets hurt or they need that extra corner for some reason, even though from all reports he's playing pretty well in preseason. He lost a lot of time. Now there is a spot for Estime, in my opinion. I think they need that 1-2 punch. I don't think McLaughlin's it. I mean, I like the guy and he's good. He's a decent player. They need another player who can go out there and bang in between the tackles. I think if Estime is good to go, they should start feeding him the ball and leave Mathis. To me, could be an inactive. I don't think he has a role yet unless there's an injury, and hope, you know, knock on wood that there isn't one.
Yeah. Zach Allen was limited today. Non-injury related thing. It was a rest day for Zach Allen, who God forbid he gets a rest day because he's playing out of his mind, right? You need to kick back, get in the training room, ice up, do what you got to do, Zach Allen, because you've been playing out of your mind. Jonathan Franklin Myers, he was limited as well with a shoulder. Josh Reynolds, he seems like he's always on the injury report, at least during practice. Caught his first touchdown as a Denver Bronco. We'll take it, a little iffy. And then the biggest concerns of the day for me, and I hate to rain on anyone's parade here in Broncos country. I'm riding high. I'm feeling good on this three-game winning streak. But your guy, Tom, backup tackle Alex Palcheski, who has been filling in for the injured Mike McGlinchey on IR, well, he didn't practice today. Ankle injury. Luke Wattenberg, starting center, he didn't practice today either. Another ankle. So you're looking at two ankle injuries with two potential starting offensive linemen as it sits in week six. I know the Broncos brought Cam Fleming back. Tom, is the offensive line a concern against the Chargers?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, they're down to their third right tackle now. I mean, Palcheski was playing pretty well. I mean, it's a tough call going up against Max Crosby. You know, gave up a couple sacks, but playing pretty well. Now you got to bring in Cam Fleming. That's probably who you're going to slot in there. You know, he's coming in off the street, basically.
He should be ready, though, right? He's been with the Broncos for like a million years, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, he's capable. Don't get me wrong. But, anytime you're getting to your third guy in the rotation out of necessity, that doesn't bode well. Center Luke Wattenberg, you know, he hasn't played great, but obviously he won the starting role. So whoever's behind him isn't any better. So it does worry me a little bit to have that banged up offensive line. I don't know who they're going to slot in there at right tackle, but you got another couple weeks before McGlinchey comes back. So it's not good.
Yeah. You're hoping Palcheski can go, right? You're hoping the week lasts a little bit longer if you're in Denver, right? You're at home this week, so maybe he can get a little extra care in the training room. I don't know. I'm trying to be hopeful and optimistic about him playing, because last I checked, Khalil Mack is still a Los Angeles Charger. He's definitely had success against the Denver Broncos. Now, the Chargers are banged up as well, Tom. So that's some of the good news if you're looking at it. I'm trying to pull the Chargers injury report here. Yeah, it's just like the Raiders, man. You can almost feel – you can almost feel the entire team. And some of their big starters – I mean, Justin Herbert's been banged up since the year started. He was limited today with an ankle. Khalil Mack, they rested him today, non-injury-related illness. Very – I don't know, similar to Zach Allen, just a rest day. Santi Samuel Jr., I've liked watching him play. I liked him coming out of college a lot. He was limited. Rashawn Slater, speaking of offensive tackles that are hurt, Chargers offensive tackle, they're looking at a similar problem that we are here in Denver, where you've got a dynamic Broncos pass rush, and Rashawn Slater has been outstanding in his young NFL career thus far. But this should absolutely be a game that the Broncos have to win. This is a must-win game. And I love getting into the arguments with everybody. Oh, what's a must-win game and what's not? Home games. Home games you have to win. You have an advantage. Broncos country cooks up a little something special, some Mile High Magic for us here, and we need to keep it going. But they've been burned before, Tom. You like to talk about that a lot. And it was so significant to me to see them take steps in front of Broncos country, them being the Broncos, against the Raiders. Bo Nix, Sean Payton getting after each other. I love it. I think Bo Nix earned some respect points, some mass huevos, if you will, to get after Sean Payton. And I've said it since we've been on this show, since Bo's been here. He is in the image of Sean Payton. I think Sean sees a little bit of himself in Bo, for better or worse. That remains to be seen. But to see Pat Surtain provide a play when the Broncos needed it most. Interceptions hasn't been something that he's done particularly well in his career. He locks down receivers and quarterbacks don't throw at him. That's kind of what's happened. But to finally see record-setting days from the Broncos, a 100-yard house call from Pat Surtain, franchise history right there. Bo Nix spreading the ball out to 11 different players. I love to see that, being the first rookie quarterback ever to win three games. We are literally seeing the growth in real time. Cecil Lammy came on this show last week, Tom. He said it's time to Bo leave. And damn, he was right, at least for last week.
Yeah, and I would just say, too, that the reason why I think this is a must-win, too, if they have any aspirations of going to playoffs, you've got to win your home games against division rivals. You have to in your division. If you can't, then you're not going anywhere. So, if they can win all of their home games against their division rivals and steal one on the road, that puts them in prime position for the playoffs. Prime, actually, position to maybe even challenge for the division title. So that's why it's important.
Stop it. Stop it.
I'm just saying, if they have that aspiration, I'm still not, I'm still wondering if they can keep up what they're doing. But if they can, that's what you have to do. So, I just keep going back to this game, the way they end up coming back, after getting down quickly and being able to turn it around and rally and then just kind of blow them away in the second half was telling about the difference between this team and other teams that the Broncos had over the last several years. And like I said, you get that losing mentality out of the system. You get some new young people, you get some winners, people from winning teams coming in. They know not to panic or give up or whatever. And that's what they did. And that was impressive. Because when I first saw that, the first score, I'm like, oh, man, this is not going well. And then, of course, it definitely turned around, which was great.
Yeah, the Broncos also brought in a new wide receiver, Tom. I don't know if you saw this. A.T. Perry, he's on their practice squad now. He originally had 12 catches, 4 touchdowns for the Saints back in 2023. He's been hurt largely, hand injury, hammy this year. I don't know. What do you make of the move? It seems to me like Sean Payton's just looking for anybody that's willing to ride a play. I'm writing up my keys to victory that will be released on Friday morning over at MileHighHuddle.com. And I'm looking at the Broncos playmakers or lack thereof, Tom, and I'm watching film. I'm looking at some stats. It's not pretty because they don't have many. It's a handful of guys. Only one player on this team has multiple touchdowns, and his name isn't Bo Nix. Do you know who that is?
Trying to think off the top of my head. Multiple touchdowns.
On offense, on obviously, because defense been carrying the load for everybody.
McLaughlin.
Yes, sir. McLaughlin, the only guy to have two touchdowns whose name is not Bo Nix, because Bo's willing to get it done on the ground if he has to. The Broncos need to figure out a way to get Jahlil involved. Stay tuned for my article coming out this Friday. I will let you know how they should do it. Let's open it up to the chat here. I want to see what you guys are thinking. How are we feeling a little bit? I see the Ferris Bueller thing going on in here. I didn't get that, Tom, and I like Ferris Bueller a lot. But Ferris Bueller and Bo Nix, and I think Sean Payton, that was a really horrible comparison, if I'm being honest. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I didn't like it. But my coach is like, he's got a little Ferris Bueller in him, and we need to get him to stop all that. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? He didn't take the day off. Maybe he's just doing whatever he wants. I don't know, Tom. That one went right over my head. I thought it was a bad funny, if you will, for Sean Payton.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting comparison for sure. I don't know what exactly to make of it, but I think he was just trying to make light of the situation, and maybe that's the only comedy he's ever seen.
Yeah, well, and you know, I was thinking about it, and I was talking to my friends and my family when we were watching that game, and I'm just like, look, man, can you imagine how much time Sean Payton and Bo Nix spend together? I mean, do you think that was the first time somebody's yelled at each other? I don't think so. We know Sean's probably yelling at Bo all the time, but can't you just see you're doing film study and you're annoyed with each other, right? You've been together since the spring. It's just always ongoing. I think they just, you know, they had a moment and they had a passionate tiff, if you will, which we all do at times, of course, in our lives. I loved it, man. I know it's not ultimately a defining moment for a team in the regular season, but it was something that I haven't seen in, I don't know, almost 10 years since Peyton Manning rode off into the sunset. And that was passion. I saw passion from the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Joe Flacco still out there playing games. You know, like I can remember what it was like having Joe Flacco, who didn't give a gee whiz. Nope. Russell Wilson, speaking of not giving a gee whiz, I mean, what's going on there? Like the quarterback carousel is ongoing. I don't know if Bo's the answer. I don't know if he's the franchise savior. I don't even know if he's going to be the first Broncos quarterback that was drafted that we can call a success. But what I do know is that he's competitive. He's passionate. And that has Broncos country relating to him right now because it's something that we haven't had in a very long time.
And he's improving too. I mean, every week it seems like he's getting better from what I'm seeing. I mean, from first week in the NFL to
what specifically have you liked, Tom? Because you're right. He has improved and it's easy to go back and look at the box score and be like, well, he's passing for 20 more yards in middle field throws, or, well, he finally had his multiple passing touchdown game. What specifically about Bo Nix's game has improved in your eyes?
Well, the first thing that I think about is actually Sean has let him be more of himself. So that's helped. I think the first game he was kind of, you know, had children's gloves on him and was being very careful with him. And he's let him get more and more used to the NFL and letting him kind of operate on his own, which has helped. I think he's more Bo Nix than he was to begin with. But I think his accuracy has gotten a lot better. I think his timing's better. I think all those things that come with repetition that you just don't get from sitting on the sideline watching has gotten better. I actually think his numbers would be considerably better if he actually could get some of his receivers to catch the ball, or they could get Marvin Mims more involved. Somehow they've got to get Marvin Mims more involved. But yeah, I mean, Bo Nix, I think his accuracy is better. I think he's, you know, his anticipation on his throws has gotten better. Timing has gotten better. Those are the big things that I've noticed you know, as far as his acclimation to the NFL and how he's improved over these several weeks.
I 100% co-sign all of that. And I would also add, I think decision-making has improved. I'm not saying it's there yet. It's still a work in progress. He still gets away with a few of those throws, as you like to remind me on a weekly basis, that could or would be INTs at any other given play or time. What am I talking about decision-making? Sean likes to brag about his young quarterback, say he doesn't make the same mistake twice. Well, quarterbacks make the same mistake twice, but they don't make the same significant mistakes, the game-losing mistakes twice, the pick sixes, the fumbles that we saw from Russell Wilson every time he got sacked last year. Bo's not retreating in the backfield when there's pressure. If any, I know we saw it a little bit against the Raiders on one or two plays, but if anything, he's pushing forward. He wants to move. He's aggressive, and I love to see that. That's an area of an improvement. Also, you're seeing a confident quarterback, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but Sean Payton gets so annoyed when people ask about Bo Nix's confidence. Every week, some brave soul over there at Broncos HQ in the media, they ask, well, what about Bo Nix's confidence? And confidence, it's the same question that we've heard since, what, Bo was in high school, I'm sure. And Sean's like, look, he's an NFL quarterback. Of course he's confident. But you see him taking shots. You see him going after teammates. You see him working. I love it. And he's doing it in silence. I was talking to my dad about this today. Do you see Bo Nix on TV very much? Do you see him doing interviews? Do you see him flashing here, flashing? No, I think he's working. And I think that's something he's also like Sean Payton in that aspect where Sean will enjoy the cameras when things are going right. But I think he'd rather work in silence. I don't know. Tom, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be doing everything right. And that's what you have to ask of your, you know, rookie franchise quarterback. Go out there, put the work in, do everything that you can do to get better. Now, will he end up being the franchise savior? We still, it's yet to be seen. But we have, you know, he's putting the work in. He's doing it. He's not like Paxton Lynch, who didn't put the work in. He's, you know, he's going out there doing what he needs to do. And it's funny because I was on Twitter last week or earlier this week, whatever it was. And somebody was like, oh, they need to just scrap Bo Nix and put more effort into Zach Wilson. I mean, this guy's a nut. I mean, what are you talking about? Like, we know what Zach Wilson is. We don't know what Bo Nix is yet. Let him have some time and see what he can do. I mean, he's improving. So let it go, you know, let him see what happens. And if he fails, then okay, then explore trying to resurrect a terrible 3-year career.
We'll call that premature fan. Premature fan doesn't know. And Ralph knows, though. Ralph showing us more love over on Facebook. Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate that so much, man. If Bo Nix gets to form before the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Denver Broncos have a winning record over that time, they will make the playoffs. Wow. I'm not willing to go there, Ralph. Stop it. Stop it just a little bit. You're getting me excited, and then I'm going to get all disappointed in November or December. No, it's a weekly basis kind of a thing for the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton is extremely successful in the month of October, Tom, as you know. It's kind of where he makes his bones. And it's going to be a long stretch, man. We're already sitting here. It's Wednesday, October 9th. Halloween's right around the corner. Broncos have a home game in Denver against the Chargers this Sunday, a winnable game. But a must-win game. It's at home. It's an AFC West rival. Let's get some momentum in the AFC West, something that the Broncos have struggled with for years. I don't want to overlook him, man. Justin Herbert, he's a hell of a talent, a hell of a quarterback, and he's absolutely nasty. He's got that killer instinct that I'm just – I don't know. I used to be envious. I'm starting to see it a little bit with Bo. I need to see more, but the competitive fire's there. I'm waiting for a killer instinct to develop with Bo Nix, but it'll be the first time. How about this? You get Harbaugh and Peyton squaring off in the AFC West. That's going to be an interesting storyline in and of itself.
Yeah, and I'll say, I mean, I don't want to jump on they're going to the playoffs bandwagon just yet. They're still a young team. They've got a lot of things to work out. Rookie quarterback. There's a lot of things to like about this team, and I've talked about them at length. There's also a few things that give me questions before I say that they're going to be able to make it to the playoffs. You know, their defense is basically been keeping them in games. There's been some injuries at the inside linebacker. Sternad played a heck of a second half. I still worry about his consistency, so there's that. And then there's offensive line injuries are starting to pile up. So if they can get through this next 4 weeks and get people back healthy, and I think then we can start talking, and they can have a winning record over this 4-week period. Then we can start talking about playoffs. But let's let's just see what happens over the next, well, the next 3 weeks, what their record is, and then go from there.
Plusify coming in here on YouTube. Sean Payton and the word relative. Oh, man. Sean loves that word, right? He loves talking about his offense. Well, what we're doing relative to this and relative. One of my favorites with Coach, and when he gets a little snappy with people, and he goes, look, 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 as soon as he's going to talk. I mean, Sean's been doing this for so many years. You know what you're getting with Sean Payton, for better or for worse. But that's absolutely – I love it, man. Sean Payton and the word relative. I'm making fun of him for the Ferris Bueller thing. This one was so obvious. I don't know how I miss it. I love to complain about random things like these, and it's a good thing that Flazify is here to keep us honest. The word relative. Have you heard Sean use that word? It's one of his favorites.
Yeah. I watch some of the press conferences, but sometimes I just get bored because they just say the same thing. So I'm just kind of like, all right, I'm not going to watch any more of this one. But yeah, he does tend to use that word more often than the normal person.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Sometimes they can get really boring, and unless they lose, right, then you could get a really like pissed off Sean Payton at the mic, and then you never know what he's going to let slip or let say. Headlines galore, if you will. Frank Crum got in the game a little bit, very, very raw. I'm not looking forward to a start if his number is called this week. But if you're Bo Nix, you know you've got to be quick with your release. You've got to be quick with your decisions. And if you're Sean Payton, set your guys up. Put them in those type of positions. I said last week the style points mattered against the Raiders, and they absolutely did. 77 throwbacks, all that. Can we get back to work? Can you continue to put these things together, or are you going to read your press clippings? You're home for a couple of weeks. You're on the road for a couple of weeks. Are we starting to get comfortable? Are we starting to get complacent? I hope not, because this offense has not arrived, Tom. They are taking baby steps right now. They've got legs, but those little baby legs are just starting to crawl, starting to walk a little bit. They're currently ranked 22nd with an average of 19.2 points per game. Also in the bottom half for almost every offensive statistical category. First downs are getting better, Tom. That's obviously the big one for me, right? You've got to be able to win the battle of the chains and moving the chains, but time of possession, that's going to be a big one, especially as these injuries start to add up. You want your big guys on the offensive line pushing forward with a rushing attack rather than retreating backwards with a rookie QB.
Yeah, and I was going to say that I think they need to rely on their running game. They need to get it going, and if Estime's back and is healthy and ready to go, I think that 1-2 punches him and Javonte should help. I mean, I'm hoping it helps. They've got to get a better running game. I know they kind of came alive this last weekend, but they need to be able to rely on it more, especially with, you know, the injuries on the offensive line. So hopefully they can have a nice 1-2 punch, bring in a third down guy to change a pace with McLaughlin. But you're absolutely right. I mean, for this defense, I think if you can keep them healthy, and I've looked at the numbers. There's no wearing a defense out that at the end they tank, you know, they get all gassed and tank out. If you're a good defense, you're a good defense. But what I do believe is the more time you spend on the field, the more apt you are to get injuries. So the offense has to start doing their part to keep this Denver defense healthy for the rest of the season, to keep that good defense going. And if they can't keep up that in the bargain, the Chargers, and then they get into more meat of their schedule, then they're going to be on the outside looking in. So the offense has got to start coming alive game in and game out, really. It can't be any more of this, you know, barely getting down the field.
Well, they're not getting worse, but they're barely getting better, right? They took a stop. They took a step in the right direction last week. Significant step, if you will. But sure. They haven't arrived, and nobody's celebrating it, and it's still the weakest point of this football team. It's Wednesday night. This is MHI. He is Thomas Hall. I'm Luke Patterson, Scott in the ones and twos. Give us a follow over on X at @MHI_pod. If you'd like to reach out to Tom, that's at Thomas Hall NFL over on X. Yours truly at Luke Patterson LP. Scott is at Scout Kennedy. Do the Broncos have a tight end these days, Tom? Because I can't tell. I wrote about it in week two. I saw Eric wrote about it today. He's waving the weak flag today. Or the white flag today on Greg Dulcich. I waved it in week two. He's a lot more patient than me. One of my biggest takeaways after the Steelers and watching Greg Dulcich on the field with my own two eyes, I'm done with him. Done with him. That being said, the Broncos offense doesn't seem to be getting tight ends involved at all, whether it be Adam Trautman, whether it be Lucas Kroll, Nate Atkins. I'm reading articles from some publication, heavy.com, saying that CBS's Cody Benjamin is speculating that the Broncos should call the New England Patriots for former Pro Bowl tight end Austin Hooper, and giving a trade scenario, if you will, where the Broncos give up a seventh round pick to get Austin Hooper. Does a new tight end help the offense, the Broncos offense, in your mind? Or what's going on with the tight ends here in Denver? There just doesn't seem to be any of them that are alive.
Well, like you said earlier, they have a lack of playmakers, and especially at the tight end position, there's no playmakers. I mean, Dulcich was supposed to be that guy, and he's not. I mean, he's just not he's not that guy. Now, I don't want them to go trade for anybody until they you know, if they get to the trade deadline and they're, you know, they've got a winning record, then definitely give up what you need to. But I don't want to go give up, you know, any sort of big pick for a tight end. I mean, because you're going to have to give something to get someone like Kyle Pitts. You're going to have to give away something pretty decent to get that person at the trade deadline. Anybody else, you know, a seventh round pick that you're going to throw out there, I doubt they're going to move the needle. So why do it?
Ralph, appreciate the support, man. He said, I had some stars left to give you guys. Want Kyle Pitts. Let me check in with my Falcons source real quick, Ralph. Scott, are they going to? Yeah, they are. Okay. All right. So they put Kyle Pitts on the trade block. No, man, they are not trading Kyle Pitts. I get it. We all want one of the better talents and prospects in the league like a Kyle Pitts. But look, the Falcons finally got Kyle Pitts going against the Tampa Bay Bucks, all right? 8 targets, 7 receptions, like 80-something yards. They finally got him going, and they want to keep that going. They want to see what they can do with him in Atlanta. The Broncos don't have the firepower to get Kyle Pitts. He would not be sold low, as Scott's telling me in my ear. It's a pie in the sky idea. He just turned 24 years old. He's a young buck, still on the rookie deal, if I'm not mistaken. Atlanta's a hot team in the NFL right now. They want to keep as many offensive playmakers as they can get. What an overtime game, too, by the way, Scott. I watched it every second of that game. Bucks v. Falcons. Keeping my eye on that NFC South as the Broncos play the NFC South this year. The Falcons and the Broncos will square off in November. Our very own our friend of the show, Jasmine, she's going to be at the game, too, so that'll be cool. I know she lives in the area with Scott. So I hear you, Ralph. We got to look. We got to figure something out. But really, should we be scouring the trade market for a tight end, or can we have a Super Bowl winning coach scheme a tight end to get open? Tom, I'm watching a controversial show right now on Hulu. I'm watching the Aaron Hernandez thing, and I've watched lots of documentaries. It's always fascinating to me who they get to play as actors for these guys and if they can truly emulate who they are. I have no idea who Aaron Hernandez was. Never met him, never anything. But like, you see the Bill Belichick stuff going on Twitter, the guy that's playing Bill Belichick, the guy that's playing Robert Gronkowski. Well, what about the guy that played Urban Meyer for me? I mean, he's literally drawing ways up to get his tight end involved, whether that's making him a running back like we saw back in the day with Aaron Hernandez. Like, do they have a playmaker at all? I don't think so. They don't even seem to scheme it, and that absolutely drives me crazy. I hear you. Adam Trautman, we need you, big guy. I need you in the run game this week. I might need you in pass protection this week, assuming Tom's guy, Alex Palcheski, can't go with that ankle injury. Assuming Luke Wattenberg can't go. Who's up if Luke can't go? Would it be Alex Forsyth, Bo Nix's former teammate from Oregon? Are we just having a duck party this Sunday? Last I checked, Justin Herbert was an Oregon duck. You got Troy Franklin dropping balls out there. I mean, quack, quack.
Yeah, for sure. I would just like to say this one thing, one last thing about training for a tight end. It'd be great if we could go, if we could watch them go out and get Kyle Pitts. They're going to have to go trade for some tight end from a team that's not going to make the playoffs. It looks like the Falcons could very well make the playoffs. They're probably not trading their tight end. But look around for, you know, if Njoku wasn't hurt, I believe, that would be a prime, you know, the Browns are fading fast. That would be someone that you could maybe go out and wrest away from somebody. But yeah, let's get somebody involved. I mean, it's been week in and week out that it hasn't been involved, but I still, I'm still going back to the fact that it's not just the tight end. They have got to figure out how to get Marvin Mims more involved. I'm going to die on that hill. Mims has to get more involved in the Broncos offense over any of the tight ends from my perspective.
Never heard of him. I mean, that's, I like, man, you know, I seriously, is that like the Broncos should feel very fortunate right now when we're looking at things, right? That they are 3-2. They should be thanking the defense and Vance Joseph a lot, because to have zero production from your tight ends, I mean, that's what we're looking at. And I love it when people give me pushback. It's one of the reasons why I love having you and Scott on this show, because all we do is yell at each other every Wednesday night here on MHI. Todd's getting after me right now. Let's not pretend that Greg Dulcich has always sucked now. I didn't say that. I didn't say that he sucked. I'm saying that he's inefficient. Okay, I'm saying that he sucks. All right, like that's where we're at with Greg Dulcich. I don't want to get after you, Todd, but you might have Greg Dulcich on your fantasy team. Do you have Greg Dulcich on your fantasy team? Because these are the vibes I'm getting, brother. Because look, 4 games, 5 receptions for 28 yards. I mean, do we even need to activate this guy? This guy, I've heard about his potential coming out of UCLA. The only reason he was drafted is because he went to George Payton's college. I'm done with it. I was done with it in week 2. It took Eric until what, week 5, week 6. You can read about it over milehighhuddle.com. But I'm just done with it. I've got nothing left for Greg Dulcich. I don't think Sean Payton does either. He's in the doghouse, Tom.
Yeah. The problem is, it's just like a lot of players with potential. They get hurt, they lose time, and they never realize that potential. And that's what's happened with Dulcich. I thought he was going to be a dynamic player. He looked like it, but he kept getting injured, kept missing time, and now I don't know if all that, those injuries and the time missed has kind of built up, and he just is not, he's just not getting to the place where he should be right now in his career. In fact, he's actually regressed from my point of view from when he was playing earlier in his career. He doesn't seem to be as dynamic as he was, and he's actually pretty much invisible. So, I mean, we're not trying to say that he has always sucked, but he is sucking right now, and that's probably has a lot to do with the fact that he's missed time and injuries.
Well, and change it. If you don't like how you're playing or not playing, change it. Figure it out in practice. Is it film? Is it the playbook? I don't know. I literally don't. We could speculate all day, but it's just so odd to me that you have a rookie quarterback out there at Bo Nix who has been anything but perfect. He's starting to get productive. They're starting to score some points, but he can walk off the field from Auburn and Oregon into the NFL and go through growing pains in what, 5 games? In coming into his 6 games? And Greg Dulcich here, we're just waiting year after year for the potential. 2022, he's got potential. 2023, he's got potential. 2024, oh, he's got Bo, he's got potential. No, you're either going to produce or you're not. And quite honestly, I put a lot of this on Sean Payton. Again, you can't scheme away for any tight end to get open. I'm not seeing production from anybody. This isn't just a Greg Dulcich thing. When's the last time you see Adam Trautman get a first down? When's the last, when's the last time Lucas Kroll, everybody, he's so tall. He's going to catch all these red zone touchdowns. I haven't even seen a play schemed up for Big Cat. I mean, Sean, what are we doing here? You have got to start utilizing the tight end position. I get it. You don't have Jason Witten with the Cowboys, right? You don't have Jeremy Shockey with the Giants. You don't have Jimmy Graham with the Saints. I get it. But you have got to figure something out. He told us all about this joker position. Greg Dulcich, I actually think he's a joker. All January and all February. You're right. He is a joker, and the joke's on all of us for believing in Greg Dulcich. Done with it, dude. Done with it.
You are going off on Dulcich tonight.
Done
man.
With it, dude. Done with it, man. It makes me so mad. You can read all about it over at milehighhuddle.com. We are talking Broncos, Raiders, leftovers, Chargers. Tom, go ahead. Hit me. What you got?
No, I'm with you on scheming the tight ends. I've been saying it for a while. I think that's the kind of the Achilles heel with the offense is their lack of playmakers at the skills position. Bo Nix is, you know, he's struggled, but he's done with his legs and whatnot. But I think until they find that playmaker or get Marvin Mims involved, who should be a playmaker, then I think that's going to hold them back on offense. They've been overachieving a little bit, but you know, they need to go. If they are serious about making a run this year, I don't think they are, But if they hit the trade deadline and they're making a serious run, go find somebody to give them some help, as a playmaker if they can. If someone will part with a playmaker, but until then, they're going to have to settle for the draft probably next year to find that guy.
William's asking over on Facebook, do we think we can get one? We talked about another New England Patriot, Will. We talked about Austin Hooper, a potential trade candidate. It's just speculation. It's all speculation over on the good old interweb. I don't know if Hunter Henry would be. Again, Tom hit on something real earlier. We could hit and want a tight end as much as we want, right? We can, let's go get this guy. How much bargaining chip or leverage do the Denver Broncos have? They don't have a lot of capital to get rid of. You can trade Garrett Bowles. I know you asked Cecil Lammy about that last week on this very show. I kind of wanted to earlier in the season. Now if the Broncos offensive line is so damn hurt, I kind of don't. I mean, who are you comfortable giving up for a tight end? Is the tight end going to save all positions? No. Sean Payton has to figure out a way to get these guys involved. You're bringing up Marvin Mims, Tom, and we did have a Marvin Mims offensive sighting. Maybe we need to start like a tracker, a Marvin Mims tracker on offense where we can get a sighting of him just to make sure he's still alive. I see him in the return game all the time, but one reception, one target for what, 7 or 8 yards against the Raiders? I don't get it. He caught the ball and then the Broncos offense just, nope, we're going away from you. Enjoy the return game. I don't understand it. I think it's too early in the season to start going away from some of these guys. I mean, what cardinal sin did Marvin Mims do that he can't seem to even get a target? I don't know. Is it a Sean Payton thing or is it a Marvin Mims thing?
I have no idea, but you can see that his ability easily. I mean, on the end around or jet sweep or whatever you want to call it there, he got the ball in space in a rushing play. I mean, you can see his dynamic playmaking ability. You can see it when he's got the ball in his hands, when he's on a return. Figure out a way to get the ball in his hands in the passing game somehow. That's all we're asking. Just figure out a way to do it. I mean, little Jordan Humphrey, you know, I the guy plays hard and we've seen him play for several years now. He's not a dynamic playmaker.
How dare you? Marvin, not lately. Little Jordan Humphrey, I would take that big cat all day.
They're feeding him the ball. I mean, they've been passing the ball to him a lot. Start passing the ball to Marvin Mims. I mean, come on, figure out a way. You're the head coach. Figure out a way to get Marvin Mims involved in the passing game. Get the ball in his hands somehow and see what happens. If he fails, fine. But I don't think he will. He's a playmaker.
Troy Franklin failed, and we'll see if he's out there this week, right? Yeah, Sean Payton. Big, man. Really big. If anybody should have been yelling at anybody, Bo should have been yelling at that guy.
It was a sweet pass. Sweet, deep touchdown pass. I mean, it would have been great in the box score, too, for Bo Nix. Mm. But, I mean, that was a right-on-the-money, perfect wide-open pass, and he drops it. I mean, that's unforgivable.
That would have been four. That'd have been three passing for Bo, right? Yeah. Maybe. And then a rushing. But Pearl, I see you. Thank you for joining the show on MHI. Saying, man, I'm still bummed about Tim Patrick. I know we see Tim Patrick with the Detroit Lions. I'm rooting for the Tim Patrick and the Detroit Lions. The reason I pull your chat up, Pearl, one, you're a good friend of the show and we appreciate all your support. Two, I was just talking to Cecil about this and he's like, dude, I think A.T. Perry has a little bit of Tim Patrick to his game. His partner, Andrew Mason, agreed. That caught my interest just a little bit when the Broncos announced that they signed former Saint, imagine that, Saints wide receiver A.T. Perry to the practice squad today. You can read about that. Kelberman's got a piece up at milehighhuddle.com. Looking for playmakers, looking for anybody that is willing to pop in here. It's a shame that Tyler Bidet is injured because he definitely provided that spark on offense there for a little bit. I'm looking for Cortland Sutton. We're talking to, you know, I'm screaming about Greg Dulcich. You're screaming about Marvin Mims. How about the team captain that the Denver Broncos just had to have him. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about MHI and all of our friends here on this show when I was watching the Tampa Bay Bucs and the Atlanta Falcons. Why, you might ask? Not because of Justin Simmons. I see him doing big things for the Falcons and I support him, but because of Mike Evans. For a second straight week, I got to watch 2 out of 3 weeks Mike Evans play football. And the guy is old as dirt. He's always hurt. And he's always the alpha dog in the red zone. He is always pulling down the ball. He is just like, and then I look at Cortland Sutton. You're perfectly healthy. You're very happy. You got a reworked deal. I'm still waiting for Courtland Sutton to arrive. And he's been in the league for like 8 or 9 years. He had a great season with Russell freaking Wilson in 2023. Can we get some momentum going with Knicks?
Yeah, well, that's what I've been saying this entire time since the offseason. They lack playmakers at the skill position. And Courtland Sutton is, I like the guy. Big body. He drops too many passes too. It's they got the drops. I don't know what's going on. But I think if they can get that figured out, if Courtland Sutton can get it figured out and then get Marvin Mims involved, then this offense can be a little bit more dangerous. Not super dangerous, but a little bit more dangerous than they are right now. But yeah, I mean, Courtland Sutton, I'm looking at all the wide receivers. None of them are impressive to me. None of them I'm like looking at that get the ball often, get targets. I'm like, none of those players scare defensive coordinator at all. None. Now they get catches. They make nice catches here and there. Some good toe taps. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, that's what NFL wide receivers do, but none of them are game changers. None of them scare a defensive coordinator, and that's what's holding this offense back. Until they can find somebody to do that, it's just going to kind of be just as what it is, a kind of a good offense once in a while.
I love a good conspiracy theory. So how about this? Maybe they're not trying to feed just one guy, so that way the defense doesn't know what doesn't hit them. I don't know. It's just one of these things. You're exactly right, Tom. We knew this coming into the season. Training camp's one thing, preseason's the other, but who's the absolute offensive killer for the Denver Broncos? They don't really have one. You could tell me that Javonte did well, and I can tell you that Javonte's had this, a roller coaster of a season so far. I'm telling you, Jaleel McLaughlin, only Bronco to have multiple touchdowns. His name isn't Bo Nix. I don't think he's that alpha dog killer just yet. Maybe he could be. I don't know. We're waiting and we're going to find out. But it's another big one against the Chargers. We need an offensive hero. Defensive heroes, they've been showing up all year for the Denver Broncos, and two of them, namely Pat Surtain, defensive player of the week. Read about it at milehighhuddle.com. He was a hero in that game because his pick six, 100-yard franchise record, completely changed everything for the Raiders, for the Broncos. Riley Moss capitalizes with an interception, PS2, bats a ball, gets his own pick. I mean, the defense has been rocking and rolling. Which offensive player is going to say, you know what? I got this. Put this on my back. It almost makes me wonder. I mean, is this type of game where you're looking at a Chargers defense with Asante Samuel Jr., who's banged up, James, who's banged up in that defensive secondary? Maybe you do tell your rookie quarterback, here's the time to hone in on number 14. I want you to go after him often. I mean, I just get done watching the Netflix series on receiver, right? Maybe you treat him like one of those guys, like a Davante Adams, like a Justin Jefferson. I know he's not, but at least get the targets there. Let's at least see if we can get something going with Court.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've got to keep going back to the well. I mean, you have to keep doing it. It's just like the running game. You can't just give up on it. You've got to keep doing it and see if you can make it happen, right? You have to. And keep going back to Courtland Sutton. Maybe he'll start to do it. But that's the thing. Someone made a comment in here. I can't remember what it was, that you double team Courtland Sutton and there's nobody else left. Yeah, but Courtland Sutton's got to beat that double team if he's going to be a star wide receiver. It's the way it is. You know, I mean, if you're going to be a stud wide receiver, you got to beat the double team. I mean, and he's not that, then that's the problem. He's a good wide receiver, not great. So, I mean, it's one of those things where they're going to go as far as I think these playmakers can take them or lack thereof. And I keep saying it until somebody can step up or they can figure out, you know, figure out a way to get somebody involved in order to do that. But I want to go back to the thing that you were talking about with Pat Surtain. It was the 100-yard interception, return for a touchdown, changed the face of the game. People kept, you know, Champ Bailey was in the stadium, and people keep posting the Pats in the playoffs pick where he's running and he gets tackled at the 1-yard line, the ball flies, you know, all that stuff. Actually, it reminded me more of when they were down to the San Diego Chargers way back when. Their season was on the line. They were getting whipped, and Champ Bailey intercepted that ball and returned it and turned their season around. That's what I was reminded of. And so if the Broncos do something this year, they can go back and look at that play and say, Pat Surtain, I think, really turn that game around and could be a catalyst for something better down the road. Because if they had lost that game to the Raiders, it was lights out for this team.
Lights out. Just like my guy Todd, man. I love you, Todd. Huge supporter of the show for many years. Thank you, man. I love getting after you. I love when you get after me. Check this out. But we get Luke's excuses for Mims and dogging out. I got to use that, man. We got to somehow coin that Luke's excuses. Todd, I will give you all the credit in the world. No, man, I'm dogging out Marvin Mims, too. He's been missing in action. He's one of my first takeaways from the Broncos for one of their first losses. I think it might have been against Seattle. He's on a milk carton, just like the rest of these guys. Last year, I thought, Marvelous Mims, he's going to be something great. Well, maybe we're waiting. I don't know what we're waiting for, but I just think that right now at this point in time, there are too many players that we're saying not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. Who's going to go make a play? Bo's a rookie. He's not chewing people out. He's not getting after them. I think that's coming. It might be towards the end of the year. It might even be in year two, but you're going to see a demanding quarterback. Why? Because his head coach and offensive play caller is as demanding and mean and arrogant and annoying as they get. And what do you want out of all of that? You want an offense that scores points. They don't all have to get along. They don't all have to be best friends, but you want competitive fire. I think Bo's one of the only ones, along with the offensive line. Quinn Miners, man, been playing great. Ben Powers, Garrett Bowles. Not enough credit to give you guys. Still some improvement that needs to happen as a whole. But overall, man, 3-game winning streak. I'm feeling pretty good about the Denver Broncos. It's a weekly thing in the NFL where you never know, man. Road team, home team, I don't know that there's much of an advantage in the league anymore, Tom, because so many of these games, they're just toss-ups or not a lot of blowouts. It's anyone's guess at this point. I'm feeling good about the Chargers. I'm going to wait till Friday to give my prediction. I know you like to wait till Friday too, but how you feeling with the Chargers coming to town as we tie a big red bow on it?
Well, the way the Broncos have been playing, I'm feeling pretty good about it. But who knows when they, kind of fall back to earth, so to speak, on defense or whatever. I don't know. I'm feeling it's a winnable game. That's all I'll say. The Broncos should beat the Chargers at home.
Boom. They should. They have to. It's an AFC West opponent. You can't take Justin Herbert lightly. Harbaugh comes to town. That guy's always a character. And, guys, this hour always goes so fast. We got to get up on out of here. If you want to follow the pod, please do so at @MHI_pod. If you'd like to reach out to Tom, that's over on X, at Thomas Hall NFL. Scott's at Scout Kennedy. Yours truly at Luke Patterson LP. Good spirited debate in the comment section, man. It's fun when we can have these debates because nobody's really mad because the Broncos are winning, right? I can complain about Greg Dulcich all I want, and you can get after Marvin Mims, but they are winning right now. Is it sustainable? We don't know. We're hoping to get those guys involved, but another fun show, Tom.
Yeah, and there's reasons to think it is. There's reasons to think it's not sustainable. So, I mean, I think I should write an article about the reasons why I think it's sustainable and reason why I don't. And that's why I'm on the fence still a little bit. And although I am on the Vance Joseph bandwagon now, and after this, I really am. So, which is something I thought I would never say. But
me too,
yeah,
me, I mean, too, man. Go BJ, huh? Go BJ, huh?
I know. I really do. I just don't know what to make of this team yet. And I keep saying that because I don't. You know, I'm trying to figure this team out. They're finding ways to win. That's what's important.
Boom. Thank you to everybody in the chat. Fun show. Thoughts and prayers to Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, anyone and everyone that is struggling. Please let us know if and how we can help. Thank you guys so much. Broncos country, Chargers, this is the way.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.